Today is July 22nd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover PIMCO's public call that fixed income markets are entering a credit default cycle, the mechanics behind South Korea's KOSPI margin cascade, and new survey data showing small business importers absorbing average tariff costs of $150,000 just to keep the lights on. PIMCO telling clients on the record that markets are, quote, at the beginning of a credit default cycle. That's not a hedge fund newsletter talking. That's one of the largest bond managers on the planet, and the line frames everything else moving through the credit markets right now. According to analysis from Ed Dowd relayed via Kitco, private credit expanded somewhere between 50 and 75% across 2024 and 2025. That is an extraordinary pace of growth for an asset class that, by design, sits outside the transparency and capital requirements of traditional bank lending. Layer on top of that more than $170 billion in AI-related corporate debt issuance this year alone, roughly four times the prior annual average by Goldman Sachs' own numbers, and you start to see the shape of the risk. Banks with private credit or tech sector counterparty exposure are sitting on tail risk that headline data simply isn't pricing yet. Jobless claims are low. Equities are near records. But underneath that calm surface, AI and AI-adjacent names now make up 45% of S&P 500 market capitalization, with semiconductors alone accounting for 19%. Dowd compares that concentration unfavorably to both the dot-com run and the pre-2008 China theme trade. The broader fintech pattern here is one we've seen before. Financing conditions loosen fastest in the parts of the market with the least oversight, right up until the credit cycle turns. Which brings us to South Korea, and a case study every risk desk should be studying right now. Andre Jeek's account of the KOSPI collapse shows how quickly leverage can turn an ordinary drawdown into a liquidation spiral. A Micron earnings-related sell-off triggered a single-session decline exceeding 10% on the KOSPI, a magnitude that would rank as the third-worst day in U.S. market history. And within 21 days, margin lending infrastructure and leveraged ETFs forced the liquidation of more than 3 trillion won in holdings. More than $600 billion was erased across Asian markets in just 2 days, pulling Japan, Taiwan, and Hong Kong lower in sympathy. South Korea's president ultimately intervened directly in markets. Looking at the regulatory landscape, that intervention is instructive less for what it accomplished than for what it revealed. Once an automated margin liquidation loop starts running, conventional monetary tools and verbal guidance have very little grip on it. The reason this matters for U.S. watchers isn't academic. Margin debt in the United States has now reached 4.5% of GDP as of June 2026, the highest level ever recorded, surpassing the peaks that preceded corrections in 1968, 1972, 1987, 2000, 2007, 2018, and 2021. And that figure excludes leveraged ETFs, options exposure, and private credit entirely, meaning the true system-wide leverage picture is almost certainly worse than the headline number suggests. Feeding that leverage is a genuinely circular capital expenditure story. AI infrastructure spending across Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Meta totaled $376 billion in 2025 and is projected to reach $725 billion in 2026, creating dependencies between chipmakers, memory suppliers, and hyperscalers that inflate valuations on both sides of the Pacific. Oracle's credit default swaps have already widened sharply alongside its share price. Credit markets, in other words, starting to ask the same questions about AI infrastructure returns that they once asked about the telecom buildout. Now, the pattern on Main Street looks different, but it rhymes. A trade partnership worldwide survey, presented via CSIS, finds small business importers absorbing average tariff costs of $150,000, and more than half are covering that gap with debt or personal savings rather than operating cash flow. 86% of surveyed importers cut margins. 83% raised prices. 30% resorted to layoffs. That's not abstract macro noise. That's a direct credit risk signal flowing straight into community and regional bank loan books, since small business importers are exactly the customer base those institutions carry. More importantly, only 12% of these businesses have engaged a lawyer or lobbyist to manage their tariff exposure, which tells trade finance providers there's a compliance capacity gap sitting right alongside the credit gap. The generalized system of preferences, which once granted duty-free treatment for qualifying developing country imports, expired at the end of 2020 and has never been renewed. A policy lapse that keeps landed costs elevated for the smallest importers, the ones with the least room to absorb it. Dan Anthony's We Pay the Tariffs Coalition has grown to roughly 1,200 member companies pushing for relief, which is itself a signal. If that lobbying effort gains traction, it could materially change the cost base. Underwriters are pricing into trade finance portfolios right now. There's an opportunity story running underneath all of this stress, too. Roughly 40% of U.S. adults own zero equities, 78% of workers live paycheck to paycheck, and FDIC data still puts 4.5% of households unbanked and 14.1% underbanked. Embedded, low minimum investing platforms have already built a $1.4 trillion asset base courting exactly that population, well before those customers ever approach a traditional private bank's $25,000 to $250,000 wealth minimums. The broader fintech pattern here is capital chasing distribution efficiency. Banks spend $200 to $500 acquiring a single funded retail account through paid channels, while these embedded platforms are getting there through community and school district relationships instead. That gap is exactly why regulators, including the FDIC, have sharpened scrutiny of partner bank fintech programs following consent actions against Evolve, Bank & Trust, and Blue Ridge Bank. Growth this fast, in a compliance gray zone this wide, draws attention. Fintech thesis update: what changed today is the confidence with which credit markets are now naming the risk out loud. PIMCO isn't hedging its language anymore. Margin debt has quietly become the highest on record. And the Korean episode is the closest thing we have to a live demonstration of how fast leverage unwinds once it starts. None of that shows up in unemployment claims or index levels yet, which is exactly the point. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.